Hey, this is James from SurvivalPunk.com. And this time the levels look a lot better. Little bit of background info that you guys probably don't need to know, but it's fun to talk with friends about these things. Or maybe they don't. I don't know. Anyway, I am back with another wonderful episode this week. And this one should be a timely one. We're going to talk about fuel storage this week. Fuel storage, if you have it, then the past few weeks haven't probably bothered you very much. If you do not or did not have fuel storage, then you might be in a little bit of trouble right now. In case you don't know, Hurricane Harvey hit Texas pretty badly. They're still recovering and probably will be for a while. It was a very bad flood, or very bad hurricane, not a flood, but there was flooding. Yeah. So with that, prices on gas have gone up significantly in some places. A lot of places. There have been shortages reported. I went to one gas station that every pump had plastic bags on them, so they're out of fuel altogether. And then I saw a few others that were they only had the 87, the low grade fuel. They didn't have any of the premium or super premium or whatever, which is fine because I don't get that stuff anyway. But, you know, there are cars that require that, or at least they say they do, high performance sports cars and stuff, which you probably, if there's a fuel storage, maybe you just want to not drive your high performance sports car for a few weeks. But again, if you have a high performance sports car, you're probably not worried about it. Anyway. So yeah, we're going to talk about that. Depending on time, I may touch on a few of the other fuels you might want to store. If not, I may break that out into another episode, which is fine on that. The main focus of this show is going to be on gasoline storage, though. 97% of cars, or 97% of road vehicles in the U.S. are gas. So that's more than likely all of you listening, except for like one or two random people, are driving gasoline vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, whatever, which probably what you need to store in that case is gasoline. I'm not going to even touch on diesel in this episode. I don't have any experience with diesel. I think it stores longer anyway, so most of the things that I say for gasoline, you'll just want to apply towards diesel, with the caveat that you will not be using these same fuel stabilizers, and there are a few tricks you could use, such as making your own biodiesel, storing the storing the diesel for not road consumptions for shit hit the fan. You know, like if you get busted with it in a normal situation, you're going to get a pretty hefty fine for not paying the taxes, you know, the road taxes on your diesel. But, you know, if it's a emergency, then it's an emergency. So, and it's cheaper. That's why I'm saying it. I can't remember if it was dyed or undyed. I think it's dyed. I think you can't have the red stuff on the road. Anyway, if you have a diesel, you probably know. Some of the types of fuel that I think should be stored are gas, propane, kerosene, wood, charcoal/coal, and there are some others like butane, lamp oil, camp stove fuel, you know, other stuff like that. But the main one is gas. That's your main fuel that you need to store. That'll run your car, your bug out vehicles, your generators. You know, that's your main fuel, and that's the main purpose of this show. So yeah. In a disaster, in case you haven't noticed, gas prices go up and it becomes harder to get. You know, that's pretty much the staple of prepping. We prep because things get more expensive and they get harder to get. You prep as a buffer to get past that or to continue your way of life. I mean, that's really what we're trying to do here, to, you know, A, survive. That's, you know, rule number one in survival is you have to survive. If you don't do that, then you fail. You fail the quiz, guys. And, you know, we prep to maintain a modicum of our lifestyle, you know. If you really like Oreos, then you should probably store some Oreos so that, you know, if shit hits fan, you're like, oh, I'm freaking out. Oh, I can just eat some Oreos. Okay. Which is a good thing for kids. Kids are freaking out in disaster. Just give them their favorite candy and they're like, oh, well, it's not probably that bad. I mean, I still have Kit Kats or whatever. I like Kit Kats. So, yeah. What's another good reason to store fuel? It saves time and money. I'm sure all of you guys have seen the pictures of, or have personally experienced, if you're old enough to be listening to this show, because this is an adult show, not made for kids. If you're listening to the show, then you have experienced gas shortages and long lines at the gas stations. After most major disasters, after 9/11, there was some super crazy fear-mongering, and I personally saw gas lines, like, wrapped out of the gas station and down the street in several gas stations. So, you know, and I wasn't, was it the 70s or 80s that Reagan has had those gas shortages? I was either not born or too young to remember that one, but if you are around, you know that that happens. So, yeah, we, first of all, saving time and money. So when this happens, the gas prices either sharply skyrocket or they go up very fast. It's definitely a bell curve of the gas getting more expensive and less available. And they sort of fuel each other. So The more expensive it gets, the more that the non-preppers and the general public realize, oh shit, something's going on. I better go get some gas. I better take my gas cans down there. I better top off my car. And the more that the normal people realize that they need gas, normal people, the more that the general public realizes they need gas, it drives the price up because it makes a temporary shortage at least. And to keep up with it, they have to raise the prices. And I'm not going to get into a price gouging debate. I'm not even going to go there. But if things are more scarce, they become more expensive. That's why gold isn't a quarter. It's scarce. It's not as available as junk metal. So that happens. I mean, the gas prices go up, more people get gas. The gas prices go up, more people get gas. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy here. And the shortages, you know, and that's what causes shortages. Like the systems today are so built for like in time, on time, you know, fulfillment that these sort of freak occurrences really bog down the system. You know, if some news report came out tomorrow saying that peanut butter could cure cancer, it would not be on the shelves. Like, it would be gone overnight. That's what would happen. So, by storing your fuel, you save time from being one of the people that are wrapped around the line in the gas station trying to get there and paying more expensive prices. You store fuel when it's available and cheaper. And if there's a crazy, like, temporary price spike, then you rely on your stored fuel. You just fall back on that. And when the prices come back down again, then you go back to using that, and then you rebuild your stock supply. So that's why you should store fuel, my friends. And on that bombshell, let's... No. So, yeah. Get good containers. Don't be Beavis and Butthead and try to put your gasoline in a cardboard box. People that rinse out milk jugs and try to put gas in that. That's not, like, a milk jug is not a good container for milk, for that matter. Milk containers are just bad containers. They are the minimal amount of cheapest plastic that the milk companies can get their hands on to put in milk. The milk will never wash out. It'll always have that milk smelly flavor. Ugh. They're weak. If you drop a milk jug from 3 centimeters off the ground, it will explode. Surely no one's going to put, but I've seen pictures. I've seen pictures of people trying to put gasoline in milk jugs. So don't be that fucking idiot. So you can go to the store and you can buy a container labeled to hold gas. They're actually fairly expensive, to be honest, for what they are. I think that's because of the regulations and crap that make the nozzles super highfalutin. Because I think I price checked a 2 or 5 liter gas container, and it was like $20. And I was like, that's kind of ridiculous for this junk you're getting. I paid, I think, $20 for a NATO jerry can at an Army surplus store. Minor dents, maybe some slight surface rust on it. Maybe I got it a little bit cheaper, but it's been several years ago. I just sanded it down and put a new paint job on it, and it works fantastic. So there's that. And a NATO jerry can is a great container to store your fuel in. The new gas cans, if you've not bothered with one in years, California regulation makes the spout pretty much useless. It pours slow. It doesn't pour right. And it allows venting of the vapors. It allows off-gassing, which blows my mind. It's like the safety people have invented the most unsafe way to be safe. Gasoline in its liquid form is not as dangerous as gasoline vapor. Gasoline vapor is what explodes. There's a Mythbuster term. There's a scientific term for the ratio between gasoline fuel, the liquid, and gasoline vapor to make an explosion. It's an air mixture. You have to have like a mixture of the three and an ignition point, obviously. But if you have a sealed container that does not allow off-gassing, that is strong enough to withhold the expanding thing, so metal, thick, hard plastic, that will, allow that, it will not explode. If you have a shitty gas can that's going to allow off-vaporing, one, it's going to smell like gasoline. You know, that smell goes everywhere. It will not make great long-term storage because you are losing what you're storing. It will eventually all off gas. It may take quite a while, but I don't want to store something to just go up in the air. You know, I have a 2-liter NATO jerry can in the back of my hatchback right now. And because the seal on it is still good and it's sealed shut, I don't smell anything. I smelled some when I first filled it up. And that's it, you know. And that's because I think I got some around the edges. Since then, I've not smelled any. So, is there a place for the new gas cans? Maybe. I mean, I've found replacement caps. So, you have to go buy this $17 can with a fuel spout that's useless to then go spend another $10 or so getting a new fuel cap to not allow your product to go up in the air. Yeah, I don't really. If you get the smallest, cheapest one you can afford and use that just to, I don't know, maybe there is a use for it. Small-term storage or whatever. I'm not a fan. So, you can get plastic barrels to store your gas in, and the 15 gallon barrels, when they're full, they're like 100 something pounds. So, as a man, you should be able to lift 100 pounds. If not, you know, either you have some physical disability. You know, if you're Stephen Hawking, okay, I can admit you probably can't pick up a 100-pound fuel storage thing. Otherwise, you should be able to pick one up, you know, and load it in your vehicle for transportation, which gets a bit difficult if you, like, me trying to transport a 15-gallon barrel in my car, my hatchback. Kind of an issue. I would rather have smaller containers. And like I said, the NATO jerry can, great. If you can find one at a surplus store for a deal, great. You can go buy new plastic fuel jerry cans. They, of course, come with a shitty new spout. So you'd have to replace that with something decent. I like that. And, you know, it's more expensive. Well, not really. If it's going to be $17 for a shitty new gas can or $17 for a NATO jerry can made of metal, I'm going to get the NATO can every day. So, you know, maybe once a paycheck or once a month or so, you pick up a new can. Once every few months, you pick up a new can and, you know, fill it up and then put it in your storage. Keep one in your car or your truck. Maybe not your truck. Unless you can bolt it down or something. Because I can see people running off with that. People won't really know what a blue barrel is or a white, plastic barrel. So, a lot of you people drive cars, and that kind of does limit you, like I'm saying. So, if you have a truck, your options are more. You have a lot more options. Your friends will always hit you up for moving, though, and getting couches. So, you know, trucks have their pluses and minuses. I actually need a work truck to haul stuff, so eventually I'll be getting one. Eventually. So, yeah, when you have your stored fuel in a good container that doesn't off-gas, you need to store it somewhere. I would suggest storing it not in your house. This is one of those preps that you want to store away from your home, for sure. you know, there's varying opinions on how far away you want your fuel shed to be. I've seen 50 feet. I've seen this. I've seen that. So 50 feet is a good rule of thumb, you know? It's, I would say it's what you feel comfortable with. I know people that live in apartments that store fuel in their apartment. I would be iffy about that, and I was. I never did store gas fuel in my apartment when I lived in an apartment. And I have not gasoline storage fuel stored in my house. I have some propane stored in here, but not gasoline. I'd rather store that away from the house, and I suggest you store that away from the house as well. A good comfortable amount away. Like I said, with the good containers, with the minimizing or eliminating of gas off-gassing, then you help solve that problem. 'Cause that's what's going to cause your fires and your explosions is the off-gassing, is, you know, the fuel vapors escaping. That's what's going to make stuff explode. If you don't allow that to happen, then, you know, that's good. Obviously, in the shed, you'll be out of direct sunlight. They won't get too hot, you know. So you'll help eliminate a lot of that by having it stored away from the house in you know, a building. Preferably, if you can build a tiny, like, you know, shack with no ignition sources whatsoever. So no, you know, I probably wouldn't even put any sort of electricity run to it. You know, if I had just a plain fuel storage shack, you know, every little bit you can help to prevent it from exploding would be better. You know, just throw in some, like, battery-operated tap lights up above, because the fuel vapor is going to, it's going to come out and it's going to sort of, like, linger around on the ground. So ignition sources down below aren't going to be an issue. You know, so yeah, store your fuel away from your home. Next up is gas. Gas tends to degrade fairly quickly-ish. So, you know, things like Mad Max, when they're siphoning gas out of, like, rusted cars, you know, way in the future, that's bullshit. You know, I always thought in the movie that the fact that ammunition is so scarce and fuel is kind of, well, everywhere. I mean, they're all fighting for it, but they're still hauling around tankers of it with no refineries left. So, at least here in America, that was shot in Australia. Bullets would be way more available. And, you know, a few years into a disaster, you're really not going to find gasoline that works anymore. Not much, if any. You're not going to be siphoning it out of cars that have rusted. For one, it just off gas away. If it wasn't sealed in there, good. But bullets are way more available. I mean, there's a trazillion. That's a James word that I invented. A trazillion bullets here in America. Way more readily available than gasoline in a disaster that lasted for decades. Just saying. So yeah, you have a couple options with the fuel since it does degrade. You can put a stabilizer in it, or you can rotate them. I suggest both. For your long-term fuel storage, stabilizer will be good. So there's a product. There's a few products. I mean, there's probably a million products to stabilize fuel, but the two ones that come to mind are Stabil and PRI. From the research that I've seen and testimonies, Stephen Harris is big on the PRI. And I saw him say that he got 12 years and going out of a batch, out of like a container of gasoline. So using the PRI, you know, it's like 1 ounce to stabilize. I think he said 16 gallons and then 1 ounce a year after that. So that's a long time. However, what was it? 16 ounces. I think 16 ounces of PRI is like $30 on Amazon. And I do not think you can find the PRI readily available locally. I think you're going to have to resort to Amazon. 16 ounces would be a lot of fuel. So, you know, it's, and with 12 years of fuel storage, that could be a pretty long, I mean, that is a really long time. That could be a good investment. Alarm went off. That could be a good investment. The Stabil you can find at anywhere around you. Gas stations, Walmarts, any, you know, home improvement stores. They're all going to have Stabil at an affordable price. Usually, I think Amazon has it listed at $13, so locally you can probably find it cheaper. Didn't price check it, though. But it's cheaper. If you only plan on doing short-term storage and rotating it, the Stabil, more than enough. If you want to do some long-term storage, you know, put up a couple 15-gallon, you know, 35, 55-gallon barrels of fuel, the PRI would probably be the way to go. The PRI would definitely be the way to go. Not probably, definitely, for long-term storage. The short-term, a good goal to have as a prepper for fuel storage would be to have 12 containers of fuel. And you can even label them, you know, January through December. And, you know, every month you take that month's container and pour it in there. So, you know, if you work up to 12 containers and you have all 12 containers of fuel full all the time, you know, whenever you get ready to, whenever your set date is, so like say the first of the month is your fuel using time, you dump out that month's fuel, which would be the oldest fuel at that point, because you would have put it in there the longest time ago. Well, if you do a 6 month rotation, then you know you're going to do the opposite. So, like, you know, June will be December or whatever, or January, whatever 6 months away is. So, yeah, you would do that. You would take the oldest gas you have, pour it into your car, go fill up. So, you know, you let yourself get down, you have enough room in there, obviously, to pour in your gas container, pour it in there, take the container with you. So when you fill up your car the rest of the way, you fill up your container, you take it back, you add to your storage. Next month, you do the same thing. And that constantly rotates your fuel storage so that stabilizing it isn't really that big of a deal. It's when you go past that 6 month to a year window is when it starts to get sort of iffy. So yeah, really up to that point, you know, up to the 1 year mark, I wouldn't even really worry about the stabilizing the fuels. I mean, if you just want icing on your cake, sure, stabilize it. When it goes past that year mark, you want to stabilize it. You definitely want to. What are we at for time? 29 minutes. Good. Let's move to propane. What are some benefits of propane? It doesn't degrade. So we were just talking about stabilizing your gas with propane. There is no propane stabilizer. You just store it. And I like that. It can be stored in massive amounts. At least here in the South, I don't know if it's as prevalent in the north, but here in the south, I see a lot of the propane pigs, the giant, you know, cylindrical propane tanks, you know, around our mobile homes and stuff around here. You know, and those are usually 500 pounds of propane, sometimes more, you know, sometimes less. You can get different size ones. And propane is relatively cheap. Relatively cheap. They'll come out, like companies will come out and they'll refill your propane containers that big. You know, and you can usually run a whole winter season on one, if not even if you're a cheapskate like me and don't love the heat that much. I like summer, but I'm not a big fan of the heat. It's a weird conundrum here. But yeah, it can last you a good while. The past, I think, 2 winters, I've mostly used propane heat with a buddy, Mr. Buddy Heater, or whatever it's called, the from the camping aisle stores, one's on propane. Originally, I was running it on the 1 pound canisters. That was pretty expensive. That wasn't very economical. I think on the high setting, it lasts 3 hours. On the low setting, you get 6 hours of heat. So, you know, one or two of those a day, they're like, I don't know, $3 a piece or so. So it was a little expensive. And you end up with a ton of containers, you know, that are basically garbage. Not a big fan of that. Just because you're stockpiling all that waste. Like, you have to get rid of it. It's more trash. It's a hassle. You have to take care of it. Then I upgraded and bought a 40-pound propane canister. And just me alone, without Serenity visiting, that thing will generally run me. It'll last like a month or so, you know. And exchanging the tanks is about $17. You know, up front, you're going to spend, I don't know, $40 or so buying a propane canister if you buy one new. And I have a tip later on a little bit to tell you how to maybe get a canister that you just have to get, you know, exchanged or refilled. But yeah, it's that lasts me a good long time. Even, you know, because I usually don't run it on the highest setting. I usually run it on low. And not all day long, every day. I think I figured out that I ran it on low constantly. I could run it for, I don't know, a week or two straight, I think. I think so. Yeah. It's propane is fairly versatile. It does a lot of things. Because right now I'm going to have to buy a secondary propane tank because the one that I have now powers my on-demand hot water system. So I'm going to have to get a second one, and then that's redundancy. I like to have multiple containers. I probably won't invest in getting a propane pig and having to plumb the propane. I'm not really into all that, but that amount of propane redundancy would be great. Maybe someone that just wanted to get a propane pig, not plumb it into their house, and just set up like a refill station to refill their propane canisters. That might not be a bad idea if you wanted to go out there and refill them every time. Probably a hassle though. And I know they make generators that run on propane, so like you can have it hooked up and automatically go, and that's a lot of propane to run that for a while. Kerosene is really versatile. A lot like propane, the kerosene can do a lot of things. You know, you can have kerosene lanterns that give you light, kerosene heaters that throw out a lot of heat. There's a lot of things you can do with kerosene, and it's very dense. It holds about almost 50% more energy than propane. So propane puts out a lot of heat. Kerosene puts out more heat, basically, per, you know, unit of propane. per unit. Yeah. So I had, and I don't have it anymore, unfortunately, because it did a good job. I have a bigger one now, and it's overpowered for my tiny house. The little kerosene heaters with the reflector back thing that are sort of squarish, rectangular. They, I ran a couple years ago, maybe three at this point. We had an ice storm here in Tennessee. The roads were completely ice. It was fucked up here for about 7 days. I could not leave my house. Couldn't even get up my driveway, to be honest. And on the way home, I filled up my... So at the time then, I was using my jerry can for kerosene. It's very versatile. I'd suggest you invest in a jerry can. I filled it up with kerosene. So it was like maybe $7 or so. I think it was just under... I want to say close to 2 gallons, because kerosene is around $4 or so a gallon at the fuel stations that have kerosene. Not quite as I'm getting disjointed here. There's not quite as many fuel stations now that have kerosene as there used to be in my ute, but you can still find one. Usually, like, there's a couple in a town, you know, in a good radius. So I filled it up, went home, and that kerosene lasted me the entire 7 days. Like, at the end, I was like, I hope it defrosts soon, because now I'm at the end of it. But 7 days, 2 gallons, somewhere around there. That was really good, you know, and I wasn't freezing and cold the whole time. It did a good job. Yeah, so, like I said, kerosene can be kind of pricey. If you go to the store and try to buy, like, the K1 kerosene and the container's already ready to go, you're going to spend out the ass. Like, I've seen it $20 a gallon and stuff like that that's ridiculous. Gas stations, if you can find it. Somewhere around $4.50, $5-ish a gallon, somewhere in there, you know, prices fluctuate, which is kind of expensive, but not insane, maybe, not considering that, you know, I went for a week with 2 gallons, so, you know, $7 a week, $14 every 2 weeks. So, you know, somewhere around $30 a month for fuel. Not the worst thing that you could do. I know a lot of people in the North that are like, if I could heat for $30 a month, that would be amazing. You know, people that have, and if they're using, like, you know, electric heat and heating entire giant houses, then yeah, they're probably spending hundreds of dollars a month on heat. So, yeah, kerosene, a little pricey, but it does put out a lot of heat, and it's good. It lasts. Next up is wood heat, and wood for cooking. Firewood has been used for a long time, thousands of years at least, by humans. I'm not a expert on firewood. I've experienced the heat from a fireplace and from wood stoves. I do enjoy it. I think it's ingrained in our human nature to enjoy the burning of wood, the heat output from that the radiant heat, the burning. I think it feeds our human souls. Like, you don't get the same. You don't get the same real enjoyment from an electric heater. It's sort of a lifeless heat. Whereas fire heat has a life. It's sort of weird to put into words, but if you've experienced a wood heater, I'm betting you know what I'm talking about. It's that quality of the heat is different. Not all woods are the same, though. Not all woods are created equally. So hardwoods are really what you want to be storing for firewood storage. Softwoods burn faster, leave a lot of ash and residue. They have, you know, stuff left over. And the output, the heat output you get from softwoods is lower. So you get a quick, quick burn that doesn't even produce a lot of heat relative to hardwood that produces a lot of heat and burns slowly. That's what we want here. We want a long, slow burn with a lot of heat output. Obviously, if you've ever had a wood heater, then you know about the struggle to stock up and stoke the fire before bed and then wake up because you're freezing your ass off because the fire is out and you now have to rebuild the fire. That is a drawback. That sort of waking up cold as shit. I've had that experience. It's not fun. So yeah. And not only do you want hardwoods, but you want to season that hardwood. So chop it into the sizes that you're going to use, stack it in a dry location, and let it dry out and season for a season. 6 months is okay. A year would be better. So, and you're probably going to, with most stoves, with most wood-burning devices, you're going to want more wood than you probably think. Once you have a couple winters under your belt, you probably have a good idea of what you're going to use. And then you can buffer it from there. Like, you know that if you use this many cords of wood last year and the year before, you're probably going to use that many this year, you know, with like a percentage more. So, you know, you stockpile the amount that you know, and then you add a little bit to it because shit happens and you never know. We're preppers. Yeah. Not all burning methods produce the same heat. You know, obviously the thing that you're burning your wood in affects your heat output. If you have a modern wood burning, you know, stove, it's going to be more efficient than, you know, a trash can in your living room. You know, it works good for bums, but well, you're going to smoke yourself out and die. If you've built your home and have space to put in a rocket mass heater, then you're going to use less wood and you're going to have a lot of radiant heat being pumped into the house, sort of a heat battery. So that quality heat is going to be different, subjectively, than a fireplace that has been proven to heat the room that the fireplace is in while sucking in cold air from other parts of the house and making those parts of the house colder. So it's a trade-off. So you have a fireplace. That fireplace room is going to be nice and warm, but you're going to be sacrificing some other rooms to be colder than they would without the fireplace. So you have to keep that in mind. So, you know, wood burning stoves tend to, they all have that radiant heat. So you're getting, you're getting more bang for your buck that way. You're not just creating, you're not just burning wood and making heat. You're using the cast iron, the metal it's made in, the soapstone, whatever you have. It's going to absorb that heat like a battery. It's going to be a heat battery, and it's going to radiate that heat back out. And radiant heat is great. Radiant heat is sort of the gift that keeps giving. It's very pleasant and comfortable for humans. So that's something to keep in mind, that if you are looking to get a way to use, to utilize wood for heat, you know, you gotta take into account all those options. What do you want to get to do that? If you just have a fireplace, then maybe you want to get one of those reflective backers in it to help radiate that heat out. You know, and then during a disaster, you literally do close off the other rooms, and you as the family camp in that fireplace room. That's your main room for that disaster. So those are things to keep in thought. If when I was building my tiny house, I was trying to think how I could put in a rocket mass heater in here, and it's just, there's just no room and no space, and the extra tonnage weight would just, it's not applicable. I really would have to redesign and change the whole house, and it's just not in the cards for me, unfortunately. So, but tiny wood burning stoves are a premium, so there's that too. I've been looking and thinking, but everything is just too big or too expensive. Which I guess I'm going to have to bite that bullet eventually, because I do want wood heat. And, you know, for this survival benefits, it's good to have a wood heating source. Until then, I'll just keep stockpiling propane. Charcoal and coal, both have been used for heat. Both are great for heat. Coal is a lot of heat output. It's a lot of energy stored in it. You get more energy output than you would from just the wood that it's made of, or the coal that it's made of, the biomass that went into it. It's cheap. I mean, it's fairly cheap. Very available. You can find charcoal everywhere. I like to store a couple bags for cooking with. So it's one, charcoal food tastes better. Suck it, Hank Hill. Charcoal food tastes better than propane food, or I mean any other. Like if the choice was like pan seared chicken or grilled chicken, I'm taking the grilled every day. Everything tastes better on the charcoal grill. It's, you know, during a disaster, it's good to have that method to cook your food, you know, to cook on, to boil water, and charcoal does really good at that. You know, if it's hot and there's a power outage, so like, you know, places in Texas now that are, you know, just out of power, but are not directly affected. You know, as in they're not underwater, they're safe, they're good, but they don't have any power, and it's still Texas fucking hot. You don't want to cook inside. You know, if you can cook outside in the summertime months, then you're not dumping that heat into your house that you then have to remove. If it's wintertime and you're cooking in your house, then that's good. You pump a lot of heat in your house, but if it's hot and you can cook outside with your charcoal, the food will taste better and you'll be happier inside for it. So yeah, just store some charcoal. And let's see if I can cover the others real quick. I like to store a little bit of some of the other fuel. So I need to refill my lamp oil because I'm out, and you know, during a disaster, having a lantern or, you know, a lamp with the lamp burning oil, it's good. It puts out a good amount of light. I prefer LEDs, but I, you know, that's, it's just another way to save your prep. So if you're just running around on your battery storage and your LEDs, whatever, you know, you're going to run out of power eventually. You can only store so much lamp oil. So, redundancy, having more than one way to light your home. It's the smart thing to do. So, I would tend to have, what my plan is, what I do is have lamps set for lamps and candles for like base location. So like you light up your living room with lamps and then you use your headlamps to traverse about your home and outside. Cause I don't want to walk around and carry, you know, burning lamp oil. I'd rather have it in a location and have it stay there and then travel with battery power. As far as like, I have multiple camp stoves, I like to store a couple canisters for those. You know, it's whatever you feel like. A couple, you know, they're usually like $5 a piece for like the pocket rockets and the jet boils and all that. Like $5 for the canisters for the big ones. I think for the small ones, they're, you know, half that price, so $2.50. So buy a couple of the big ones. And, you know, if you need to boil some water while you're inside during a disaster or to have some in your bug out bags to rotate out, then you're good to go. You know, it's whatever you feel comfortable with. 5, 6, 12, you know, at 12, you start getting to the point where like you might want to move a couple of those to your fuel shed to have them out there. But, you know, under that, 2 or 3, keep inside the house. I guess that's about all I have. There are other fuels that could be stored. Troxane tablet, Troxane, Esbit tablets, you know, and it's depending on what you have stove-wise and what you use, that's what you store. If you are a die-hard Esbit guy, then you probably want to have a good amount of Esbit tablets stored, you know. If you are a diehard Jetboil guy, you probably want to store nothing but those, you know, butane canisters, the Jetboil canisters. So you store what you have. Like I said earlier with the diesel, if you have diesel, if you're one of those people that have a diesel car, diesel generator or whatever, then storing nothing but gasoline probably doesn't make sense because you can't use it. You're going to want to store diesel. If you have both diesel and gasoline, you need to find your comfortable area there on where to split the difference. So maybe you get 6 canisters of gas and 6 canisters of diesel and, you know, that's what you do. Maybe you build up from there. If, you know, you got to make it work for you. But that's my thoughts. Storing fuel is a good prepper thing to do. It does save you time and it does save you money. And if you're not storing fuel, what's wrong with you? Get to it. You know, even if it's going out this paycheck, I love realizing that I have gaps in my preps. If I have gaps in my knowledge, because instead of ignoring the fact that I have a gap, I go take care of that. I fix that gap. So I'm calling you guys out. Use guys. If you do not have fuel storage, the time to start is now. Even if you go buy your canister now and, you know, the gas prices will drop probably in a week. If you get paid a week from now when this podcast comes out, then maybe you go buy your canister then, and then you fill it up and you find a safe place to store it, even if it's in your car and or truck. Like I said, with the new fuel cans, the leaking thing, you probably want to store that inside of a car. If you have a jerry can with a good seal, then you can store that in your car. But get started now, guys. And on that, DIY to store fuel use, guys.